Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Hey, turn me on, Tim. Thank you. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There is a blonde lady, I think it was, her name was Angela Baker, or Tammy Faye Morrow. She was out, I think, in college, and she was wanting to earn some extra money and decided to hire herself out as a handywoman. I never knew this. I read this on a blog this afternoon, but she hired herself out as a handywoman, started canvassing the neighborhood. She went to the front door of this first house, asked the owner if he had any jobs for her to do. And he said, well, he was kind of looking out the door. He said, well, I guess I could use somebody to paint my porch. He said, well, how much will you charge me? And Mrs. Baker now looked and said, well, what about $100? And the man agreed, told her that the paint, everything she would need would be in the garage. And so she headed out there. He, you know, went back inside. And a short time later, the blonde handywoman came back to the door to collect her money. And he said, you know what? There's no way. You cannot be finished already. She said, oh, yeah. Yeah, I am. And in fact, I had enough paint left over that I gave it 2 coats, no extra charge. And the man started reaching back into his pocket for his $100. And she looked up and said, hey, by the way, it's not a porch, it's a Lexus. Oh, yeah. Right there. That's my one blonde joke there. But I did figure some of you might understand this, that this is just some hints that it might be time for a diet. When your blood type, Mr. Pastor Ferguson, is Ragu, yeah. When you dance and it makes the band skip, you run away and your picture takes up all 4 sides of the milk carton. Yeah, you go to the zoo and the elephants throw you peanuts. Oh, yeah, you put mayonnaise on your aspirin. Yeah, you're diagnosed with a flesh-eating virus and the doctor gives you 22 more years to live. Oh, yes, it's time to go on a diet. All right, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It is nice. You know, people always are like, so, what's it like? Oh, right there. What's it like? I don't know. I don't know what to tell you because, you know, they're saying, so what's it like being the pastor? Well, tonight, as they were singing, I was thinking before when something like that would happen, I would get called into the office next week and get my head handed to me. So I was trying to figure out how I'm going to do that to myself. You know what I mean? That's one thing. It's like, you know, I heard about a song that was played at the Empowered Youth Conference last week, getting some phone calls. And so I'm wondering how that's going to happen, trying to discipline myself there, maybe dock my pay, things like that. But I do... I am glad to have this week, you know what I mean? Because I can be stupid like you again. You know what I mean? It's just so refreshing to just be an idiot again. And nobody even thinks anything of it. Isn't it great? Isn't it great? You could just jump up and down, be stupid, and you'd be like, ah! All right, but you can't do that on Sunday night. You know what I mean? Or Sunday morning, right in the middle of a mess, you'd be like, ah! All right? Staring at you. So there are some things like that had to change, just had to go. But this week is here. All right, so we can get back to it. All right, so 1 Corinthians 3. You'll notice at the beginning of the chapter, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" And we're going to go down, and he talks about a conflict that is going on, because they're all saying, basically, Apollos or Paul or somebody else planted me, all right? Somebody put my foundation in. And notice what Paul says in verse 8, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry." Ye are, and this is where we come into our text now, ye are what? God's building. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." You notice later on in this passage, in fact, the next verse, he continues that same thought about this building. It's interesting that at the beginning of it, he talks to them that they're kind of carnal, that there's a conflict. They are all saying that, hey, this person built me. Hey, I'm on this foundation. No, I'm on this foundation. He stops it all, and he says, you're God's building. The only foundation you're supposed to have is Jesus Christ. Then he tells us, and this was interesting to me as I've been studying and reading it, because I've always thought, you know, God's a builder, and I think we can say that. But notice what he says in verse 10, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder." And I've always thought, man, God's the master builder. But what does the passage say? "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me." Who's that? Who is that? Come on, you big Bible scholars. You guys that were shucking the corn this afternoon. Come on now. Who was that? It was Paul. Paul says he was a master builder. "I laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon." So the Bible is indicating to you and I believe it's true, that Christ is the only foundation. And I believe that's true. But then it seems to indicate that you and I, with help from other people, get to build a structure. Now, I think, and we're going to come back to this at the end. So what I want to challenge you with is, what kind of structure are you building? What kind of structure are you building? And we're going to kind of have fun here at the beginning, because we know the foundation, don't we? I mean, I think that was, I think this morning, made clear to us, the last couple messages made clear to us. Tuesday morning, we understand who the foundation is because, you know, he's God. Sorry, Pastor Parrish, they already forgot it. All right. I thought maybe you guys would be almost awake. I can't tell. Are you guys awake? All right, did you eat the candy? That's part of the reason we throw candy out. You're supposed to eat it, then you get this high adrenaline rush, all right? And then all of a sudden, all right, you start shaking. And so at the end, all right, Brother Tragmar, see, that's why we give it, because the hand starts going up. All right, we get a little happy. Okay, but we're talking about the foundation. We understand that. So the foundation is Jesus Christ. When Paul comes to Corinth, he preaches Christ and him crucified. According to, look back at chapter 2, notice what he said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ, and guess what? Him crucified. So Paul says, when I came, I'm just preaching Christ. And it's sad that people are getting away from preaching Christ today. They're preaching all kinds of things. You can get in and you can get into a self-help church. You can. And you'll get in there and you're supposed to feel good. And really, somehow they say that the gospel is there and that they are churches, but they never mention Christ and they never lift up Christ. The only person that seems to be lifted up is this guy and his big fat wallet. All right, because it just gets bigger and bigger. And yet they're not preaching Christ. And the foundation has to be Christ. Now, I think that coming in the last couple messages, you can understand in what we do, you understand we believe in Christ. I don't think I have to sit and explain to you that, you know what, kids, and dig and go on and on about Christ being your foundation. I think most of you know that. I really believe it. But the thing is, after the foundation, there are people that have sat here. All right, we've been doing this since 1997. Think about that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Long time. Before you were even hatched. You know what I mean? Before you were even hatched. We were doing this thing. Did this. Excitement. It hasn't stopped. Non-stop since 97. Straight excitement and stupidity. Non-stop. Okay, so that's been going on. But we believe in Christ. I don't have to challenge you on that, but there are people that have come, they had a foundation just like you, but their structure looks really silly today. They have a silly looking structure. You go by their structure right now. We're talking about their house. We're talking about their spiritual house. And just like some of those silly pictures we put up. All right? The door. You're like, why in the world do they have that door there? Because somebody, somewhere, was a master builder to them. And they started listening to them. And they started listening to those master builders, and they're like, yeah, guess what? You put the door way up here. They go, oh, really? And they put the door up there, and they look stupid. And yet when anybody comes to them and says, hey, door's a little high there. Like, what are you saying? What are you saying? You judgmental. That's how they treat us now. Because we said, the door looks stupid. I got to get a ladder to climb up and go through it. You know what? You're just a little critical. And I can tell you this as a young person. I don't care. I understand you may have a foundation. But if you decide to build a stupid-looking building, and I see you in the road of life 10 years from now, and your door is hanging up there spiritually, you need someone to say that looks silly. You need someone to say that's not right. And we're going to talk about that this morning because this evening we have the foundation. Notice the Bible indicates to us what we're supposed to build with. Every works are in verse 12. Verse 12. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Notice verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, what does it say? Gold, silver, and what? Precious stones. Then, those three are all together. All right, gold, silver, precious stones, those three are together. Then you have another set of three that you can build with. What are they? Wood, hay, and stubble. So you have gold, silver, precious stones, you have wood, hay, stubble, those two divisions. All right, thinking about those things that you can build with. Let's think of gold, silver, precious stones. They are permanent. Wood, hay, stubble. What is that? Temporary. Gold, silver, precious stones. They are beautiful. Wood, hay, stubble. It can be ordinary. And I really think that a house made out of hay would be pretty ugly. Okay? It wouldn't just be ordinary. It would be ugly. And I'm sorry. And some of you, that's the way, that's people that choose spiritually to build their house out of hay, it looks ugly, and then we come by, all right, as a Christian, I come by as a Bible-believing Christian, and I come up and say, man, your life is ugly. And guess what happens? I'm offended. Well, I'm sorry, a house made out of hay looks ugly. It does. You won't want to live in it physically, but spiritually, are you building it? Gold, silver, precious stones is permanent, beautiful, it's valuable, and it's hard to obtain. You got to work for it. Some of it you got to dig for. But wood, hay, and stubble, it's temporary, it's ordinary, sometimes even ugly, it's cheap, and it's easy to get. It's easy to get. So this morning, or I keep on saying this morning, sorry about that. I just get so confused now. As you get older, that happens. You know what I mean? Just some of those things that happen with old age. Sorry, Steve. But Steve, actually, I think is older than me. At least he looks it. Man, you look old, Steve. I'm just standing up here, and you went to give me a hug, and I thought it was my grandfather, you know, coming at me. I just, oh. Sorry. All right, but we're gonna look first of all at a spiritual toolbox. All right, we're gonna have a little fun and do a spiritual toolbox. So I was trying to think of what has God given to us to help build? Because God says He wants to, it's God's building, so I think He wants to help us. So how has God given us tools? I got a toolbox. All right, well, right here I brought my first thing. You know what this is? A blueprint. You know what? God has plans. If you're going to start building a structure, you need a plan. So before I get going, I got a toolbox. I got to have a plan. And so you know what? I need to find out the blueprint. So where do I go? Well, the Bible tells me in Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. In Psalm 48, verse 14, it says, for this God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide even unto death. And you can go to the book of Proverbs, and over it tells us that if any man lacks wisdom, and that's actually in James, he'll give you wisdom. But the Bible says in Proverbs 2, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasure. Isn't it interesting that the Bible here, we're talking about precious stones and gold and silver, and back in Proverbs, it uses that to say that that's some of the things that you dig for. And then when you get them, you can build your structure. But he says, you know what? We got to dig for those things. And you work for that as just like we work for silver and we work for gold and we work to get precious stones because they're valuable and they're beautiful and they're expensive. The Bible says if you want wisdom, work for it. And the Bible says in verse 5, then if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord giveth wisdom. The first thing that we've got to do is have a plan. And as a young person, you need people, master builders. Remember, Paul was a master builder? And then he said, other people come in. And so what you need to do is tie up to the couple of master builders and tie up to God, who has a plan for your life and who has some wisdom. And then you can build a structure, because there's a plan. The problem with most of us is that we don't want to follow this blueprint. I don't like it. I don't like what it says. And then we end up cutting corners. We end up cheating on some of the finishing touches. And we endanger ourselves and we endanger other people. I was looking at this actually last night. And I thought it was interesting. Man, you can find all kinds of crazy construction accidents. But I found one that was right near here, Rosemont Horizon. Rosemont Horizon. It was in 1979. Now I believe it's the Allstate Arena. I think DePaul University plays there, and some other teams. I think some semi-professional teams play there. But the Rosemont Horizon in 1979, there was a wind that came through, and the whole roof just dropped. All right, now that's a big structure. It was a wood. It was partly wood, partly steel structure. They went through it, though, and this is what was crazy. It was supposed to be, I think, 916, these huge bolts and nuts and bolts all up in the structure there. 916, and they only found 450-something. So guess what, union people? Oh, you were up working there. Like, yeah, it's time for break. Hey, do we get another break? All right, and there they were up there trying to, they're like, yeah, you know what? I put one on that one. I don't think this one needs it. So the whole thing collapses. See, that's what happens when you cut corners. What happens when you cut corners is you hurt other people, and you hurt the structure obviously falls down. In 2008, right in New York City, 2008, some of you probably remember reading about this. Some of you little guys, this you were just a blip, you know, right then, just a small little blip, so you probably had no clue what was going on in life. But in 2008, in New York City, there was crane, thank you. Wow. Whew. Telling you, get old, forget all kinds of things. There was a crane in New York City. And they were supposed to tie it off. I think they were supposed to have like 12 or 16 tie-offs. And right in the middle of the day, the crane fell over while they were operating it. Six construction workers died. A pedestrian was walking by, a lady. She got killed that fast. You know what they found out? The crane operators, they're like, let's only put four up. That's all they did. They put up only four supports on that crane, and guess what happened? They cut corners, and people died. Now, spiritually, we got a blueprint, and the blueprint is telling you what to do. We're trying to follow God's plan, and then we get master builders that know how to build a structure, and they help us with it, and we don't cheat. We don't cheat on the plans. So we see that we have that blueprint. Now, I brought a couple hammers here. I was going to test them on a couple people tonight because I don't know if they're really good. Actually, my boys bought me this one. Looks kind of weenie, doesn't it? But they bought me that one because they use my hammers all the time. And I don't really build things, okay? But when I want my hammer, I'd like it there. And so the boys are out there, and they're like, yeah, hey, Dad. All right, and then I go out to the one time. I've never seen a hammer look like their hammer. It was bent, all just mangled. I was like, what? How could that happen to a hammer? I mean, I felt bad for the hammer. I mean, you shouldn't feel bad for a hammer. It probably doesn't have any feelings, and I don't have a lot of feelings, but I was just almost in tears, weeping for my hammer. But as I thought about the hammer, I thought, now, in the spiritual toolbox, I come equipped, and I need to put in my toolbox some things, or I need on my tool belt some things, so I have a blueprint. But what is a hammer? And some people say, oh, that's the Word of God. But I got thinking about it, and I thought, you know, I think a hammer is more than that. I think when I come to church, that hammer starts knocking at my door. It starts waking me up. I think the hammer represents the Holy Spirit that comes and convicts me all the time. And that comes in, and you know what the hammer of the Holy Spirit can do? He can do what nobody else can do. He can bash your head down. All right? He can break your heart. He can just squeeze that heart. He can break that heart. And all of a sudden you say, you know what? I'm not really worth a lot. That hammer does a lot of good. And also the Holy Spirit, the hammer of the Holy Spirit, can drive a point home, can he? Like nobody else can. All right, some of you sitting here, I don't know all your needs. Your pastor gets up sometimes and preaches, and I had a lady say this just 2 weeks ago. I was preaching on the old nature and the new nature. I didn't really know that she was in the auditorium that morning. She's just been coming the last couple months. And then she got baptized that night, and she told the man, she's like, you know what did you tell him? Tell him what? He was preaching right at me. Everything he said. Well, you know what? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be there, and he can be in that tool belt. And I want the Holy Spirit there. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to come into my life, and I want him to be able to work to help build a structure. So when I see the Holy Spirit, I see the hammer. Now, also found, I'll just throw this in my pocket here. Skill saw. Right there, skill saw. Now that, I got thinking about this afternoon. And that is to cut out those annoying brothers and sisters. I just threw that in there. All right, we're narrowly not going to park there for long. You know, those irritating members, that's what a skill saw is for. You just cut the life out of them. It's just really, I was just thinking about that afternoon, and I had no scripture. And I almost felt Neo. And I was like, man, that'll preach right there. I was going south right there. I thought I was going to a camp meeting. I was like, whoa, that'll preach. And you need that skill saw. Cut it out. Cut them out. All right, and then I was like, well, I don't think I really have Bible for that. But I thought a bunch of you'd be coming down here at the altar. You're like, Lord, give me that saw. Give me the saw. I want it. Oh, yeah. You're carnal. All right, right there. That's what, remember, verse 1 and 2. All right, verse 1 and 2. But then I thought of some others. I looked, and I did this one. I found my tape measure. My tape measure. Now, some of you, you're not even going to know what this one is. Look at this, man, right there. Oh, yeah. Talking from the archives right there. Oh, yeah, you're like, what in the world is that? Actually, electricians do use these still. Did you know that? Electricians still do use these. Our electrician, he was telling me, because he pulled one out. I was like, holy cow, you still got one of those. And he said, well, when dealing with electricity, he has one that's all wood. And I was like, oh, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. But a tape measure. What does a tape measure help you do? Helps you not guess. Isn't that true? It helps you not guess. Have you ever done that? You're like, yeah, that's 4 feet. And you went ahead. My wife hates it when I'm just in a hurry to hang a picture. I'm like, you know what? That picture is going up. And when I get focused, man, focused. And I'm like, all right. And I did this. I had this nice, it's a deer, like, sculpture that hangs on the wall. But it is pretty heavy. Now, Joe, I don't know if Joe's here, Bishop, oh yeah, he remembered because he hung it the first time on my wall and it worked. All right, but I wanted to move it. I was like, you know what, that's coming down. Now Joe, he did this and this, you know what? And so I'm just like, all right, let's go over here. So I went in my front room. All right, it was at a place that you wouldn't really notice. And so I wanted to make it prominent. It is beautiful. So I'm in there like, all right, put them up. And then I tried to hang the stupid thing. Oh, I was so mad. All right, and it had the little antlers on it. And I'm like, you know what, you little deer? I'm gonna kill you. I mean, I'm sitting there trying to scream, and I'm like, you know what? I measured that. And I took at least 1 minute to look at that. Man, it was so messed up. It still wasn't up. It still wasn't up. And so what I did, I went down to the bookstore, and I was like, all right, clock, you're mine. All right, and I went, boom. All right, and if you move the clock, there are holes everywhere. All right, there are holes all over the place in the back. You know why? Because I didn't feel like taking the time to measure right. I didn't feel like doing it. Guessing doesn't produce a good product. And I believe the tape measure is not just God's word. I believe it's God's guidelines. Because you get into the Bible, and you know what you'll find? You'll find that there's standards that he set for us. There's principles and there's guidelines. So then I can say, so how far should I be away from the world? So how close should I be to God? And I can get a good measure of what I should be. Because the Bible is right there. And it's not just some book that I can just, oh, you know what, I'll read it every morning. No, see, from this book, I can get a measure of how to build my life and put things into place. So I have a tape measure. Now, I like this one. Right here, man. The level. Pulpit's right on, man. Oh, right there. Pulpit is level. Now, what does a level do? It shows you one thing, and some of you older folks, it shows you when the bubble's in the middle. And some of you got it, so you're level, right? Bubble's in the middle. All right, the bubble's in the middle. So you're right on. But it does show you, remember we were using it tonight, it shows us when something is off. Now, this one was pretty easy for me to figure out. Because you know who shows me when I'm off? And as a teenager, your authority. Your authority is your level in life. And it'll help you to be balanced. It'll help you not to get off. It'll help you. And sometimes, you know what? You say, you know what? Why are they shoving me this way? Because you're not level. Why are they building me up on this side? Well, because you're off on that side. And your authority comes in, and they make you level. Have you ever walked in? Now, it's funny because Bruce Leek is back there, and he does all kinds of repairs for us continually, basically, all right, hourly. He does repairs. All right, he'll go and he'll put up actually the chapel. He did the whole ceiling, and he'll come in and we hate it when it's a remodel job. Those of you that have been in construction, you know it, because you know what happens. All right, there's settling, there's all this type of stuff, and even in this back hallway. Now all of you will walk and you'll see it. When you walk through this back hallway, look at the baseboard. All right, we would have to get like a couple of like 5 gallon buckets of caulk in order to get all the gaps out, because the baseboard is like woo, woo, woo. All right, because the wall is not level. It's not square. And it just looks silly. All right, we all joke about it. Now, the one reason that the Tower of Pizza, all right, One reason that tower, we'll just call it the tower, okay, that tower is off is because of foundation. But it is, I think, 4% or 6% at an angle. Now, at the bottom, it doesn't seem that bad. But, man, I mean, you just kind of like, wow, while you're looking at the picture, you're almost tilting. You know what? That's what happens to you. You're off. I didn't bring my big glue gun. All right, my big glue backpack. All right, my caulk pack solves every problem. All right, but glue and nails, what are they? You know, I believe that the glue and the nails, the things that hold me together, and some of you teenagers, you're not going to understand this. You know what holds me together, the glue and the nails? My church. My church holds me together. And nowhere will you ever find that it's not right to go to church. You'll not find it in the Bible. You won't find it in the New Testament. Now, some of these people that like this home church movement, they love maybe to jump into the Old Testament, but then they don't like to follow all that either. But Jesus Christ established the church, and most people we teach, there's probably no church in America that teaches more on the family than we do. And you know what happens? People come here, they'll move here. I've had it in my ministry. They will move here because of the family. And guess what they do? This year I had it. They left here because of the family. You know why? Because as a church, we're going to take all the principles of the Bible and we're going to bring them together. We're not going to leave some of it out. Because the Bible tells me that the church, not the home, is the pillar and ground of the truth. It's not some home. It's not some Bible college. Bible college doesn't determine my doctrine. The church is supposed to hold true to it. You see, I got a spiritual tool belt. And so I got a hammer. I've got a measuring tape. Got a skill saw to just cut people up. Got my blueprints. I've got all kinds of things that God has given me to help out to build a structure. So why aren't you using them? Why do you get mad at the authority? When they're just trying to help you to build a structure. Why are you getting mad at your church? Why are you getting mad at the Holy Spirit? Because I can tell you this, you get far enough away from these things, and the master builders walk away and say, that guy's a lunatic. I'm not helping him. And you're on your own, building your own little house. And it's going to look pretty silly. So we see we have a tool belt. And this is where I'm hoping that it won't take too long, because this right here is where we get some very personal application, and I have three warnings then with the tool belt and with our building. Three warnings, and then we'll be done. What are the three warnings? Well, let me give an illustration. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan had a very successful pulpit. He was the pastor of Westminster Chapel in London, England. Morgan was asked all the time, why were you so successful? And this is what he said. Work, hard work, and again, work. That's what he told them. Morgan, G. Campbell Morgan, was normally in his study at 6 o'clock in the morning. And each morning he was digging treasures out of the Bible. Now you can go and you can find wood, hay, and stubble in your backyard. And it's not going to take a lot of effort to pick it up. But if you want gold, silver, and precious stone, I'm telling you as a young person, it's going to take some work. It's going to take some effort, and you've got to be up for the game. You've got to be ready to build that structure. It can be exciting. It can be something that you bring God glory. But it's going to take some work. So what are three warnings? The first one is, don't use cheap materials. That's my first warning. Don't use. We got all this given to us. We have all these helps. We got a plan that God says, I will guide you. I will teach you. And he's given us principles from the Word of God so we can measure our life. He's given us authority so we can be level and be straight on. He's given us a church so we can learn. He can stick all the things together. But some of you in your building are substituting good things for the wood, hay, and stubble. Substituting some of that. If I'm reading this passage right, it's saying that God and others can help me, but I'm responsible in some regards to build a structure. Remember it says, now if any man build upon this foundation, it's telling you as a teenager, you've got to be a builder. How are you going to do it? Well, we told you, get the tool belt. Take advantage of all those things, but then don't get sucked in buying cheap material. There are all kinds of cheap materials out there. Read about an Arabian princess. She was presented by her teacher with an ivory casket. Not a like a dead casket, but an ivory casket, a small one. And it was not to be opened until a year had passed. This princess had a hard time controlling it. And she wanted to open that casket, so that ivory casket. But finally, a year passed, and she, trembling, opened it up. And on satin lining lay a shroud of rust. It was a shroud of rust. There was something beautiful, she could tell. But the beauty was gone. And next to it was a slip of paper. And this is what the paper said. Dear pupil, learn a lesson in your life. This trinket, when enclosed, had upon it only a spot of rust. By neglect, it has become the useless thing you now behold. Only a blot on its pure surroundings. So a little stain on your character will, by inattention and neglect, mar a bright and useful life. And in time, leave only the dark shadows of what might have been. Place in here a jewel of gold, and after many years, you will find it still as sparkling as ever.